Welcome to Back on the Broomstick,
a modern witch's spoken word grimoire,
where two witchy friends from way back are reconnecting to their pagan roots after a long period of mundanity.
We're rewalking the path of the wise and trying out all the latest spells, rituals, and magical theory in today's witchcraft and pagan practices.
So grab your wand and your incense,
your cauldron and your crystals,
and join us
as we get
back on the broomstick.
Hi, and welcome to Back on the Broomstick. In this episode, we're going to dive into our grab bag of Facebook messages, Instagram, DMs, and emails that all you lovely witches, pagans, and heathens have been sending us, and try to answer some of your most pressing questions and interesting comments, because goodness, you guys are really keeping us busy with this, and we thought addressing it on air might be one of the better ways to let you all know what's going on and give you some answers.
I love when we do question episodes.
Since we're getting so many of them now, maybe we'll have to turn this into a regular segment. Before I get too far, answering your questions today, I'm Layla.
And I'm Shell. And I love this because you guys have so many great questions and comments and what do I do's. I love it.
That's my favorite part every day, especially after we release a new episode. People are always sending in Facebook messages or email comments, and I absolutely love reading them. So thank you all. Before we get into the questions, I actually want to do a special shout out and a thank you to a listener named Gabriella. And Gabriella emailed us back at the end of December, actually, and sent along with it a handwritten letter.
This thing, guys, I can't even. This warmed my heart.
Oh, it touched us both so much, and we are so grateful. That was the sweetest thing.
You know, I just want to actually say that we're saying how grateful we are about it, but legitimately, Gabriella, Layla, and I, not every day is a bright sunny day. And sometimes when times are tough, we've actually gone back and read your email to kind of perk us up, kind of give us that, what we're doing, people want to hear kind of thing. Like, it's inspiring to us. And we reread it a lot to kind of lift ourselves up when we're a little down.
We actually gave you a shout out and a thank you on an episode we recorded quite a while ago that has not, for a bunch of different reasons, aired yet. So we wanted to make sure to give you a special shout out this time and just say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Gabriella, you're a sweetheart and we adore you as much as you adore us.
We hope the universe conspires in your favor and all your blessings come true. So thank you so much, Gabriella. So that being said, we also have a bunch of letters and messages that we have gone through and pulled out some that were particularly interesting or we thought everyone might want to learn from.
Mail time, mail time.
I'm having kid flashbacks, man.
I know. I was just like a Blue's Clues, Lord.
Oh, no. All right. So what have you got over there, Shell?
Now, I wanted to address this. I've actually gotten multiple questions from multiple people about this. So I kind of wanted to pool all of their questions into one little tiny conversation. People want to know how we get our teas and smokables, where we get our teas and smokables, and how to pick teas and smokables, for lack of a better word, how to pick what you want, especially in our solarium episodes. We talk a lot about we love tea. We love the smokable stuff, and we all know that y'all don't have these stores right around the corner from your houses. So we just wanted to kind of touch on what we like, where we get it, how we pick it, and maybe address some of those questions. What do you think about that, Layla?
I love that one because on our Spotify, I don't know if everyone knows this, but if you listen to our podcast on Spotify, on each episode, you can actually put a question or a comment. And one of the questions that we get asked, again, on our solariums for obvious reasons, is where do I get my smokable herbs and what blends?
Where do you? Talk to me. Tell me. What's up?
Well, like Shell, a lot of the things that I get are from local shops. Any place that sells organic herbs that haven't been, you know, touched by pesticides, that are clean, you can usually get your lavender, rose petals, and things there, as long as they are grown safely and pesticide free. However, like Shell said, not everybody has access to things like that. So I also like to go to a place online called Herbal Spirits, and they sell individual herbs as well as herbal smoking blends. Two of my particular favorite blends are the Rivendell blend, which is mullein, raspberry leaf, lavender, rose, and chamomile. And my second favorite is floating Egyptian.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Right? It is very good. And this one also has mullein. Again, I think mullein should be pretty much in everything you smoke. Mullein, skullcap, blue lily, wild dagger, damiana, and rose. And I mix these with my cannabis, sometimes for spell work, sometimes for meditation, sometimes just because I like them.
All good reasons.
Exactly. So Herbal Spirits Online is one of my favorite places, but there are a lot of others out there. So if you have a favorite online shop or local shop, you know, send them on. Let us know. Maybe we'll try out their stuff. So where do you get your teas, Shell?
Now, tea is oh, I love tea, but I got to admit, I am sometimes that harried and helpless person who has to go get my Tetley tea bag from Wegmans.
Oh, hey, nothing wrong with a little Wegmans prepackaged tea. No problem.
Exactly. I have come across this place recently that I am just so in love with. You know, the last two times I was in there, I talked to the girls there and I'm like, this place is dangerous. Danger. Like, they should have those danger signs outside because this place is so delightful. I could just die and spend a whole paycheck and not care. I live in a touristy area. You know, we talk about it. So I will give them a
Salem touristy? No.
Salem has a little bit of tourism here. So this place here in Salem, not only if you come to Salem, you can go there physically. Such a gorgeous shop. This place is just, I can't even, it's delightful. I could just literally, I could spend every cent I have there and not be mad.
Woman, if you don't spit out the name of this place in the next 5 seconds.
But they also ship and do online too. So for all you listeners who don't have a good tea spot in your local area, these guys do ship online. They are called Deal Marcus and Company, DM and Co. These folks make, I had this tea the other day, Layla. It was called banana bread.
Really?
And I shit you not, that tea tasted like banana bread. It did.
And bread.
Banana bread. Now, I got this one yesterday, I think it was. This is like an Earl Grey cream. Like, they have put, like, I don't know if they've added like some vanilla, or it almost has almost like this light minty, like Andy's candy kind of minty vanilla. I don't know, but it's like they have taken this Earl Grey to the next level. They have one called the Queen's Blend. I'm dying over.
That's a you thing right there.
It is so a me thing. My sweet love, he got himself. I have to laugh because I've turned him into such a tea lover. It's kind of humorous. He got one called Raspberry Champagne.
Ooh, now that sounds great.
I can't describe the taste to you other than bliss.
That sounds like a Sunday brunch kind of tea.
It really, oh. And not only do they have teas there, they sell accessories, which, you know, I'm an accessory whore, honestly. They have all the little tea balls. They have the little teaspoons. They even have your own fillable tea bags. Such Ooh. A fan of that. But they must have about, if I had to take a guess based on memory, I'd say maybe 50, 75 different blends of tea that they blend on site. And freaking fabulous, man. I can't get over it. So DM and Co., if you go online and want to check these guys out, it's dealmarcus.com. And they are located right here in Salem. And I love them. They're my new place to dump my paycheck.
There you go.
There, I said it.
Now, we also on our Facebook and our Instagram occasionally will feature smokable blends or tea blends that we've come up with, sometimes with a spell or sometimes just to enjoy. Recently, just put up a tea blend that we made for Kendra from Survivor.
I was going to say, or sometimes we'll put up a Survivor tea blend.
Exactly.
But, you know, we do want to point out that we're just talking about places that we like and we frequent. We have no affiliation with these folks. We're just lovers of their products.
That's right. None of these people have paid for advertisements.
You're asking us, so we're telling you.
That's right.
Don't ask me where I get my tea if you don't want to know, is I guess what I'm
saying. You know, Herbal Spirits wants to sponsor us, or if DM and Co. wants to sponsor us, I would not say no.
I ain't saying no to nobody, but I'm just saying that we currently are not affiliated with these folks, but you're asking us who we love and we're telling you.
Yep. There's our honest opinion. So there's our witchy viewpoint on that.
And there's today's news.
There's
today's
news.
On to the next question.
The next one. Now, this one, I think we might have both gotten from the same person on our Instagram and on our email. In case you didn't know, Shell usually handles the Instagram. And so if you get a DM, it's usually from Shell. I take care of the email and the Facebook. So you'll usually get an email or Facebook message from me, but occasionally we swap. But I think this person texted, messaged
both
us both.
Us. Yeah.
And Melanie said that she had found our podcast a few weeks ago and was binging it like a lot of you do. Thank you.
We appreciate, by the way.
We do. And she really enjoyed the ancestor episode. And she did have a question because she is adopted and she has no relationship to her biological family, but she does know who they are and what her heritage is. She says that she's closer to her adopted family that she calls her real family and feels that the biological family were just a vessel to get her to her soul connections. So her question is, what ancestors should she recognize? Now, I love this question.
I loved this question too, because I think that more people deal with this than we realize. And my answer was to check out both.
Yes. And I like that too. And, you know, we get this from a couple different angles. Maybe some people really don't get along or have really bad issues with their biological family.
Right. Or they don't have any connection or knowledge, or, you know, they don't know. Some people have found their biological families, but a lot of people have not.
Or maybe you start researching your biological ancestors and find out that they were really shitty people.
Well, there's that too, yeah.
And you just don't want to call those energies into your life. What do you do? Well, the good thing is that when you start with ancestor work, you don't have to work with your parents or your grandparents. You could just call out to ancestors that want to work with you. Now, Melanie says that she knows what her ancestral heritage is. If she feels a connection to that, say she's got heritage from Italy or from Syria or from Spain or for wherever she happens to have ancestry, if she feels a connection to that area or to that history, she could start to research that and call out to people from that part of her line. But she doesn't have to. She can also work with her non-biological family as well. Ancestors do not have to be blood related to you. They can be,
I think, just people before you.
Yeah, they can be bound by emotional ties. They can be bound by common ground. I have several ancestors that I work with that are not related to me at all, but they were teachers in this life. They were people that I felt close to in this life. Some of them are people from history that I feel a deep connection with. And so I work with that energy when I do ancestor work. So there's a lot of different ways to approach it that doesn't have to be biological DNA related.
You know, I think probably the, I don't want to say shortest, easiest answer I can give is kind of like how we say with everything else, there's really no rules here. If you connect with these people as ancestors, go with that. And if you don't connect with people as ancestors, don't. And if they are related, great. If they're not related, great. But blood relation or non-blood relation, in my opinion, is irrelevant to ancestor work.
I agree. I very much agree. And especially if you get yourself into space where you're going to be calling to ancestors, maybe reaching out to a particular one, or maybe just reaching out to see who comes to you. Your ancestors are going to know that you were adopted. So if you reach out to your adopted family and their ancestors, they're going to welcome you into the family just as much as your adoptive parents have. There might be some ancestors in that line that wouldn't appreciate it. They're not going to come through most of the time. The ones that do want to work with you are the ones that are going to reach out and come through. And if any negative energy comes in, you can just choose to ignore it or not work with it.
Exactly. And, you know, these, I feel bad that so many people think that everything is so, you got to be in this box, you got to be in this box. There is familial ancestor work, yes. And obviously, by definition of the words, probably someone in your bloodline would be someone doing familial ancestral work with. But just general overall ancestor work, you know, we always kind of make a joke of it. And it is kind of funny, but like, I truly, somewhere in the depths of my soul, feel like I have somehow, some way been a royal type person. There, I said it. And I do have that connection to, like, you know, I have that fascination with the English monarchy.
You are related to them.
It's so far, you know.
You're a princess, damn it.
When my daughter did our ancestry DNA thing, yes, I do have relations that tie back to the English royal family, but they're so far gone that, like, I just feel like if I reach out to these people and they reach back, their ancestors, and if there really is a blood connection, who knows? I don't. My daughter thinks she knows, but I don't, and it doesn't matter to me.
And I love that you said that, because if you go far back enough, we're all pretty
close. We're all related to each other.
Right? But the other thing is, I have had adoptees ask me about ancestor work who didn't know their heritage, who knew nothing about their biological family. And they were like, how do I reach out to these people? And my answer to them was, I never met my 100 times great grandmother.
Yeah.
I have no fucking clue who she was. She has come to me in meditations and we've had conversations and I work with her. I've never fucking met her. So right? You don't have to know who your biological ancestors are if you're reaching out to them in that space and with that intention, and you're open to working with that and working through what you find, you will make connections with ancestors, whether you're adopted or not.
Well, I think that was a pretty good answer we gave.
I think so too. So what have you got next there, Shell?
So I don't necessarily like putting out people's names, because the way people do their Instagram handles, you don't know if that's their real full first and last name. We got a message from a fine lady. She knows who she is. Frequent commenter. About 666. What do we think about 666?
I love repeating numbers. You know me. I'm a number fan.
I love repeating numbers too. Anytime I see 666, you know what my first thought is?
What's that?
Where is the 333 and the 999? Because it's got to go 333-666-999, because everything happens in threes. But the question was specific on, you know, is that basically, do we, for lack of a better phrase, buy into the Christian connotation of 666, the sign of the devil, you know?
What?
Satan's number. And
what?
Yeah.
And well, I don't mean to laugh, but I am not Christian. And so 666 is a Christian construct. That has nothing to do with me. I don't believe in their deity of the devil. Kind of. I guess, you know, they have their own place in the pantheon, I suppose. But that's a Christian concept. It's a Christian fallen angel / God, whatever you want to call him.
Not our belief system.
For me, 666 is a triple number, like 111. Some people call them angel numbers. Some people call them universal numbers. Again, angels aren't my thing. So I tend to call them universal or cosmic numbers. But 6 in numerology is a good number. It's love. It's being gentle. It's like the mom number, you know? It's like taking care of you. It's a great number. So 666 would just mean triple that or three times that amount, in my opinion.
And, you know, people always say, you know, things happen in threes. The 369 thing for me has mm-hmm. always numerology wise been a thing. So to me, it just kind of falls in line with the 333, the 666, the 999. But I can see how society as a whole has kind of vilified 666. And yeah. I kind of think that that's where the question was coming from, is that I think a friend inquired with her, you know, if you believe in this stuff, what do you think about that?
Gotcha.
You know, it's kind of, you know, like you said, Christians have vilified that particular number for whatever reason. That's not my belief system. So I can't speak to that.
Yeah.
For me, it really comes down to the numerology aspect, which I think is badass, even though I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah. The only other thing I have to say about that is that we talk a lot about archetypes on this show, and that archetypes can have power in and of themselves because so many people believe a certain way.
Right.
So many people believe that Friday the 13th is bad luck. That can create bad luck for people, because that's
Friday
a lot
the 13th ain't bad luck. It's just Jason's day.
That's right. But that's a lot of that's a lot of power to pour into something. You know, if that right. many people believe, it gives it power. So the fact that there is a whole segment of population that believes 666 has a negative.
Yeah.
So that can give it kind of a, I guess, a negative vibe a little bit. But there's also a whole lot of people that it doesn't mean that at all. So I guess it really depends on your viewpoint on that.
And my response back to the listener was kind of summed up with check out what that means in numerology, because there is a whole thing with numbers, and it's not necessarily something that I'm super into or super familiar with. But for anyone seeking, what do number combos mean? What if I, every time I look at the clock, it's like 11:11, or, there's a big thing online all the time with 11:11.
Oh, yeah.
You know, check out some numerology books. Google some information about numerology, because it is pretty fascinating and a lot of people are into it, and it might kind of open up some more information about other numbers other than 666.
And if your magical brain, if your subconscious is latching on to these repeated numbers, there's probably a message there for you. And, maybe you should, like Shell said, look into that a little bit. Now, before we go to the next question, I got to give you a little fun thing about 666.
Oh, geez, what?
Six is a Venus number. It very often is like perfect love, right? So 666, maybe that's the polyamory number.
And that's why it's been vilified.
There you go.
See, you just cracked the code. You just cracked the code.
I figured it out. So there's our thoughts on that one.
Really? I would have thought that would have meant 333.
Ha ha ha. Funny.
All right. What's the next question we got? You know what?
What?
Actually, I want to go to a topic. We're going to have a couple questions about this topic. So we're going to kind of put them all together and have it be cohesive. Tarot, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about tarot for a minute.
All right. I love this topic.
I've had a lot of questions about what our thoughts are on buying tarot on Etsy, about buying it on some of the other less ethical sites that I don't know if we should mention or not.
Okay.
I've been asked about Amazon. Basically, what are your thoughts on where to get a good tarot deck if, again, you don't have a local around the corner shop in your town where you can get a tarot deck? Or, maybe they do have a Barnes & Noble that has a tarot deck section, but Rider-Waite isn't jamming with them, or they have, they'd have three decks there and they're just like, meh, that's not what I want. So I'll let you go first, since I have the tarot obsession. I could talk all day before I buy tarot.
Well, I have also gotten some messages about this as well, including in a recent episode, we touched a little bit on how to tell counterfeit tarot decks, because that has been an epidemic lately. People have purchased them.
It's annoying. It's annoying.
People are getting them not only on Etsy and online, but on big box stores like Amazon and even at local metaphysical shops. So you do have to use a little bit of caution. And what we tell people is go ahead, buy your decks online. I think that's a great way. But even if you go to a reputable place or someplace that has sold hundreds of decks, make sure that the deck you're purchasing has an ISBN that you match to the number that it should have online. And ask about the booklet that comes with it. If you've checked out this deck online, you should know if it comes with a booklet or a full-blown book. And if they say it comes with a QR code instead, that is 100% a tip-off that it's counterfeit.
Red flag, red flag, red flag.
Yeah. Some legitimate decks do come with a QR code, but you would know that ahead of time if you look up the deck before you go to purchase it on Etsy. So in that case, we'll definitely just have a QR code, but most of them will come with a book or booklet of some type.
Now, I've never bought a tarot deck on Etsy. Actually, I haven't bought anything on Etsy. That's more of a me thing, nothing reflective of them. But I have gotten one on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. That's different.
Which is different. And I am an Amazon fan. And I also obviously buy locally here in Salem, which, instead of me just fanning out places, if you Google shops to buy tarot cards in Salem, I swear Google will give you 50 different answers, and they all do online. Back from where we're from, great store, Imagica, they have tarot. But I think that big places like Amazon and that, I like them because I can find those hard to find decks. And I do have a trust factor with Amazon. I've never gotten anything bad from Amazon. Every deck has been real, but I've also made sure of that before my purchase. Mm-hmm. You don't just buy stuff based on a picture. You want to read the details. But I've been surprised at how many local in-person stores, not here in Salem, but we've heard from listeners, are actually unfortunately getting duped as well. And they're obtaining fake decks and unknowingly turning around and selling fake decks. So I think the biggest thing we want to put out there is be aware of what you're buying, whether it's in person or online, because as much as you think this in-person thing is making it 100% legit, you know, we've had a listener that had an issue with an in-person store. But I love Amazon. I love doing small business shopping via their websites. So definitely, if you can find an occult store, a pagan-y type store online, definitely throw your money their way before you throw it to the man in blue who drives the beautiful truck who delivers me great packages.
And if your local metaphysical shop doesn't have a wide variety of tarot cards, a lot of times they will be open to ordering them. So if you ask them to order you a deck, they should be able to help you out with that. I will admit, I've totally thrown you under the bus on multiple occasions, Shell. I've told people that have reached out to me asking how do they know if a deck is fake or not, and I have told them, Shell has nearly 180 decks. I only have a few dozen. Shell has like 180. So if you're concerned about whether a deck you got is fake or not, let me know what it is. We'll see if Shell has it in her collection and we can compare it to what she's got and tell you.
Chances are I have it.
And let you know if it's a counterfeit or not.
But, you know, I think the most important thing is that always check that to see if you got that ISBN number on it. A counterfeit is not going to have that. And, you know, as long as you got that number, you should be golden.
Yep. And I know about saving a buck. Trust me, I don't have 180 decks for reasons. So I totally understand people wanting to go to that website that starts with a T that shall not be named, you know, and buying a beautiful deck that they've been wanting forever that only costs $5. I understand that. I completely do. That's why I am not against at all buying used decks. People all the time get
decks.
There's
nothing wrong with a used deck.
Nothing at all. Go on Facebook Marketplace. People still use Craigslist. Go on Craigslist. Go to your local metaphysical shop. Maybe they have things posted up on a bulletin board there. Ask around.
There's actually, if you have a community in your area or a metaphysical shop in your area, sometimes they do free swaps.
And there's thrift books or places like that online where you can purchase secondhand decks, secondhand books, and things like that. So don't be afraid to buy them secondhand if you want to save yourself a little bit of money.
Give some character. That's how I look at it. Give some character.
Now, I am going to say that I have a deck here that is made by Taroteca Studios, and they are an indie group, and I don't think it has an ISBN number. I'm looking over it right now. Like you said, you get stuff on Kickstarter. I also like to occasionally get short run decks or like personal decks that people have made. There's a lot of printing places out there where you can print your own beautiful deck, have it come in a box and everything.
I swear I'm going to do that one day.
Me too. I keep saying I am. I have a half one completed somewhere, but I don't think this has an ISBN number. So if it is a commercial deck, it 100% will have an ISBN number, and you can look it up and see what it looks like and what it should come with online. But if it's an indie deck or a personal printed deck, it might not. But again, do your research ahead of time, and you'll know if it should have that or if it's okay that it doesn't.
Just buy all the tarot you can get your hands on, folks.
That's right. Buy them all. Buy all the tarot.
That's all I can say. Buy all the tarot.
We will not shame you at all.
Now, someone also asked in the spirit of tarot, what our thoughts are on using a deck for yourself and other people. And we did touch on that on our episode with that. But I just wanted to make sure that we put it out there that whatever works for you, and just because Layla and I do something doesn't make that some set in stone rule. But I have used a deck for myself and for public readings. And I've also kept decks where I only use them for myself or I only use them for public reading. So I've done it both ways. Whatever floats your boat, man. Whatever you're okay with, energy-wise.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add to that. I'm exactly the same. I have decks that I have used for myself and for other people. And I also mentioned it a ton of times. The Witch's Wisdom Tarot by Phyllis Curat is my personal meditation deck. That's my daily card pull, work for myself, you know, do inner work deck. And that's not something I would read other people with. So I also do both. So the last thing I want to say is from an old friend named Terry. And I used to do tarot readings for her. Very often she would have tarot parties at her home. And she has a deck of tarot cards from someone very close to her that passed on. And she wanted to know what to do with them. And now that is also going to be something that's deeply personal to each person. In this particular case, I was very honored that she offered those cards to me. And I am very grateful and deeply, deeply honored that she passed those on to me.
Oh my God, that makes me want to cry.
Yeah. So they are cards you can keep. They certainly contain a lot of energy of that person, especially if it's a deck. Like if you grab one of Shell's random 180 decks, it's probably not going to be that personal. But decks that you use all the time become very magical tools. And
if you took that witch's tarot from me, that'd be a little different.
Exactly, exactly. Pry that Ellen Cannon Reed out of your cold, yep, dead fingers.
Right, pretty much. All three copies that I own.
That's right, that's right. But you know, this can be something that you pass on to someone, whether they left it in a will or whether you choose to keep it for yourself or to give to someone else. That's deeply personal. Could you also just cleanse them and pass them on to the universe so that the next person who needs them could have them? Yes, you certainly could.
Whatever you are comfortable with.
That's right. That's right. In this particular case, they're a close magical tool. And so she decided to pass them on to me because she knows that I will take very, very good care of them and cherish them. So that's certainly an option. Do you have to? No. Just like any magical tool, that's something that's up to those of us that are here left to decide how we want to handle and honor those tools and that person. So right. The same applies for tarot cards.
Now, I had one last question, tarot related, that I wanted to address. We had a listener ask, what is the difference between the tarot, the Linomard, and the oracle cards? And I think that that is actually something we've never talked about, is there are lots of cards out there, and we always talk about tarot, but there is the Linomard, and there is oracle cards, and they are all different.
They are. Now, I know a lot of people really love the Linomard cards, and I am not super familiar with them, only that they are like the more French version, right?
It's, yeah. And honestly, I feel like it's a new insurgence of it, because I think that I don't feel like it was really all that popular until like the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years.
So this is a particular deck that was made popular back in the 1700s, early 1800s by Marie Anne Lenormand. And she was a necromancer, a fortune teller, and she used cards to divine futures. And so she created this deck from some of the original types of tarot decks and some of the, there was an Italian deck that was more of a card. Are you familiar with that, Shell? I'm not.
Not necessarily. You know, that was never something, that was never a road I went down. Honestly, I never heard of them until maybe 8-10 years ago.
Yeah.
And by that time I was so deep into tarot that I just never veered. I figured I'm already buying too many decks of cards for right. One thing. I ain't adding to it at this point.
Now, oracle cards, I have had a love-hate relationship with them. In the beginning, I didn't like them when I first encountered them because I felt like they were tarot light. I was a snob, I'll admit it.
I think they're just, I look at oracle cards versus tarot cards kind of more like, oracle cards are going to give you like the cliff notes, the overview, and the tarot cards are going to give you the nuts and bolts and the meat and potatoes of what you're asking, the details.
Yeah. Back in the day, the ones I remember in particular were like your spirit animal cards or your fairy cards, and they seem to be more for fun than for divination. Now, holy crap, there are some really good oracle cards out there. There are some amazing decks.
There are, but I still hold true to my thought of that you're still just getting the overview with the oracle cards. And if you want the deets, you got to go to the tarot.
I think it really depends. I think it really depends on, you know, just like in tarot, there's some that I feel aren't giving me what I want. The same thing happens with the oracle deck. I'm still a tarot girl, very much tarot, but I think that The Leonard Mond has a place. People really like that, especially, like you said, especially now, it seems to be super popular. It's just a slightly different tarot deck. So it's a different system you'll have to learn if you're going to do that.
Less cards, first of all. And same with an Oracle deck. You're not going to be getting 78 cards in either of those two decks. I think usually Oracle decks can range from anywhere from like 34 to like 58.
Yeah. And you'll see some less, some more, but I think that's pretty average. Is they're about half the size of a traditional tarot deck, roughly.
Yeah.
And just like with tarot decks, I recommend that you
buy as many as you can.
No, Shell.
I'm such a bad influence.
I recommend that you look through it. If the shop that you're in allows you to sift through the cards, look through the cards, see if they feel right. Read through the book. Look at them online. Watch someone online do a reading or an unboxing.
I've actually bought Oracle decks just because I was so enamored by the artwork that I couldn't walk away.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the best reasons to buy it, because that's when you're really going to find meaning, is when that artwork and those cards are speaking
really
to you.
Really speak to you, yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about the daily practice of doing like a one card pull or doing a journaling practice. You can do that with Oracle cards. You can do it with runes. You could do it with whatever type of divination that you like.
We just happen to talk about tarot more often.
Yeah. So those are the three things. Tarot, Lenormand, Oracle cards. We'll have to do a tarot-specific episode at some time.
We'll do lots of tarot-specific episodes soon.
That's a quick overview. Lenormand was created by a woman in France in the early 1800s, late 1700s. It's kind of tarot-esque. And Tarocchi, I think. Possibly.
I think they are. Yeah, I think it is related to the Tarocchi, if I'm not mistaken.
And then there's the traditional tarot, which comes in 10 bajillion different flavors, which Shell is going to try every single one.
Everyone.
And Oracle cards, which are coming in more and more different flavors, some better than others, but a very good tool to use just like tarot, but differently, I think.
I just can't help it that I can't get enough of tea and tarot.
There you go. Hey, that honestly, that sounds like my favorite way to spend an afternoon. So I'm not going to complain. All right. So one last question.
What you got for us?
This one I really liked, because we had an episode entirely about Hecate, and we got some great questions and great comments. And this person, Kat, emailed us. And they said that they found us on Morgan's podcast, Busy, Gritty, Inked, and Witchy.
Love Morgan from Inked Goddess Creations.
Over on YouTube. So you can check us out, check her out there. But this person found us through Morgan's podcast and says that she is also back on the broomstick. And the Hecate episode really got her intrigued. She has a confession. She's been putting off studying Hecate for a few years, and she's met her in crone form and keeps seeing the keys popping up here and there. And at the time, she wasn't up to what she knew Hecate was going to demand of her. And she says, I'm still not, if I'm being honest, but maybe that's the first step. So, yeah. None of us are ready when Hecate
ding,
calls.
Ding, 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 ding.
And she's looking for some books other than the ones by Cindy Brennan. There are some very good books that I do recommend. Sarita D'Este is an excellent historical author on Hecate, and she wrote Circle of Hecate and Liminal Rites, both of which I do highly recommend if you want to learn more of the historical aspect of Hecate.
I actually, back in the day, I read a book, this was a little bit ago, but I read this book and I thought it was all right. It wasn't horrible, because here's the thing. I want to preface what I'm going to say with this. There wasn't a lot of books about Hecate when I was really delving and diving, but I kind of liked, it's called, I don't even know, I'm going to have to look up, I'll have Layla look up to where you can obtain the author's name, but it was Keys to the Crossroads. Does that ring a bell? Keys to the Crossroads, Hecate, Keys to the Crossroads. That was a good book in the day.
That's Sarita D'Este.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Hecate, Keys to the Crossroads is by Sarita D'Este. She is fantastic.
I got a lot of information that I had to piece together, because back then, you know, there weren't a lot of dedicated books to her. I always recommend The Witch's Goddess, Janet and Stuart Farrar. Can't hate that book. But it's not obviously about any one particular deity, but you're going to get a good little story and overview on each one, mm-hmm. Hecate included.
One other book that I'm hoping to get to do a review on, so I personally have not read it, but I've heard other people mention, is Jason Miller's Protection and Reversal Magic. And from what I understand, he works a lot with Hecate, and there's workings in that book mentioned. So we will be getting copies of that book to do a review on in the future, but I have heard people mention that book when asking about Hecate as well.
Another book I read back in the day that I think it's hard to get now, or maybe expensive to get, but it was a little more educational, I guess.
Is that the Hecateion?
No, it was Hecate and Ancient Greek Religion. Rob von Ruldoff, kind of more of a historical perspective, more so than a religious perspective. But yeah, Hecate and Ancient Greek Religion, definitely a good one. But I think it's old enough that it's going to be expensive.
Yeah. And so while I really do like Cindy Brannon, you do kind of have to weave around the, you know, join my coven and that type of thing. I guess it's a
little
commercial.
There's always somebody in every crowd.
That's right. But Sarita D'Este, Shell and I both very much highly recommend.
I didn't even know that was the author of that one book, honestly. I just knew it was a good book.
Yep, it absolutely is. So we do highly recommend those books if you want to learn more about Hecate.
But here's the other thing. You really want to learn about Hecate? Do you really? That you need to do some, take those keys, do that work, because you're going to get more from her individually than you're ever going to get out of book, and it's going to hurt. And I'm just going to say, you'll love it.
Sounds like she's given you a little leeway and it's time now. So my guess is she won't let up.
Answer the call.
That's right. Hail Hecate.
Right?
All right, so I think that's it for this round of Ask the Witches Anything. And if you have any questions, comments, things that you want answered either via DM or on our next Ask Us Anything episode, please email them to backonthebroomstick@gmail.com.
Because we love what you send us.
We do. We love the comments. Thank you. We appreciate you all. We love the kudos. We love the questions.
Whatever works for you.
Something you want us to look into, topic ideas, we're happy for all of them.
Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, our website, backonthebroomstick.com, our new thing on YouTube. We're actually on YouTube. Yeah, go check that out. We don't have a lot of video up yet, but we have a lot of our audio up, so go check that out there. Email us, backonthebroomstick@gmail.com. Give us your likes, your love, your comments. Tell us your stories. And yeah, we love it. We love it all.
We do. Thank you so much for joining us on The Broomstick. And we will see you next week. In the meantime, stay wise, stay wicked.
And keep it witchy.